All right, welcome everybody. Come on back if you're not back in your seats yet. If you're listening to that song, I'm sure you recognize a familiar Christmas tune, What Child Is This? And I played that song before as I was walking up here just to get our minds focused on that question. What child is this? It raises the question that really gets at the heart of Christmas that we are starting to focus our attention on this December 3rd. Jesus was no ordinary child, and it's important for us to remember that as we prepare for Christmas, who he really was. What child is this? And so I want to focus throughout the month of December here on some of the important answers to that question, to remind us who it is that we're really celebrating and to inspire us to embrace him and commit more fully to living for him. So the first verse of that song says, what child is this? Oh man, here I thought I was going to be able to say it. I think I'm going to have to sing it to remember it. So sing along if you can. What child is this who laid to rest in Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels sing and shepherds watch. Okay, we can stop there for now. So angels, there he is, shepherds laud and angels sing. Laud means to celebrate and praise. So angels came and sang the praises of this child. Shepherds came from all around. We know the story of the Magi who came following that star, came to celebrate this child. And the chorus of the song answers the question who this child is. This is Christ the King, whom angels watch and shepherds sing. No. Shepherds watch and angels sing, sorry. Again, isn't it amazing how singing sticks in your head, but you just can't say it. Anyway, shepherds watch and angels sing. This is Christ the King, and that's where I want to focus our attention today. This is not just any human king either. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is Christ the King, the promised Messiah, the one that the Israelites had been long waiting for, who came as a savior to mankind. He was spoken of by God's messengers, the Old Testament prophets, years, centuries beforehand. And those prophets were sent to warn the people of Israel of the coming judgment against them because of their ongoing sin against the Lord. But even in that judgment, they spoke of a hope to come, the promise of God's restoration. And they spoke of his love and his mercy for those who followed him and how they would be restored when this Messiah came. And I want to share some of the passages that the prophets spoke of, that spoke about this king. So the first one comes from the book of Isaiah. If you have your Bibles with you or grab one of those that is near you, open up to Isaiah chapter 9. And we'll begin there this morning. So Isaiah 9, starting in verse 1, Isaiah writes this, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing a plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood, he will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This is the King that we celebrate the birth of. The child who has come, the government will be on his shoulders. And that is all government Every authority will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And his kingdom is eternal and everlasting. Now, Paul declares Jesus' ultimate sovereignty again in his letter to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 6:15, he writes this: "He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in inapproachable light when no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." This is the King that we are talking about. Again, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, immortal King who dwells in inapproachable light. Let's remember his sovereignty, remember his ultimate authority as we celebrate him. Now I want to bring your attention to another prophet's statements about this coming king in Micah chapter 5. Now, Micah is one of those minor prophets. It's a little bit harder to find in your Bibles. In fact, I just have to page through a little bit. It's only a couple pages long. Right after the book of, you have Amos and then Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod." Again, this is the warnings that the prophets are giving. But then he says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Again, pointing to the coming king, he will be ruler over Israel, but he's not just born for that time, and he's not just from that time. He is from old. Jesus has been in existence for eternity, and it will be in existence for eternity. He comes from ancient times. There's more to him than what meets the eye. He's not just some special child born in a manger, but he is, again, the King of Kings. He always has been. But the prophet Daniel builds on this idea of the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7. Let me just turn back to that. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, if you're following along. Where he writes, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All people, all nations, and men in every language worshipped him. His dominion is everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." This is the glorious king that we celebrate. His dominion will never be destroyed. He is before all things, and he will last be beyond all things. He is the ultimate authority and sovereign power over all people, all nations, and every language. We celebrate the fact that every people on earth will bow before this king. And we celebrate the fact that we have discovered him in our lives already. And we know what a wonderful Savior he is. And I want to finally share another passage from Paul in his letter to the Colossians, where he declares the glory of this eternal and everlasting king. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Where Paul writes, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Do you get the picture of what an amazing and mighty king this is? He is before all things. All things in creation were made for him and by him. And this amazing king who has all power and all authority on this earth looked down upon us, looked into our lives, and said, I want to sacrifice for them. He gave up his life for us. He sacrificed his throne in heaven to come and be born a child among us. And he ultimately gave up his life for us. And so Paul continues in Colossians and says, once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And just think about that again. Because of Christ, because he came into this world, because he gave up his life, in God's sight, when you put your faith in Christ, you are without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to you, every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is who we celebrate at Christmas time. This king gave his life so that we could be made holy and blameless in his sight. So as we celebrate Christmas, as we decorate our homes, sing songs, as we gather together with our families and think about this wonderful baby born in a manger, let us remember what child this is. He is Christ the King, King of kings, Lord of lords, worthy of all honor and praise and glory. He is worthy of us giving up our lives for. So let us honor him with lives that are lived for him above all other things. Let us commit ourselves throughout this Christmas season to putting everything else second, to living fully for Christ and honoring our King. Let's give him thanks and praise through our closing prayer and celebrate him with this last song. Heavenly Father, what an amazing King that you have given us to live for. A King who has sacrificed his life for us, who gave up his divinity for a time to be among us, to be one of us. Lord, give us new insight today to who this King is and how much he is worthy of our lives. Lord, let us find all of our satisfaction in him, knowing that he is worthy of all praise, that he is all-powerful. There is nothing in this world for us to fear because we have a King above all kings who loves us and has given us new life. May we all be committed to fully following him, living according to his will, setting everything else behind. Set our sights on him. Let our songs of celebration this Christmas time be all the more full because we know we are celebrating the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for your presence among us, Lord. We thank you for sending us this King. In Jesus' name, amen.